I hope you had a good Christmas and a good week, and I hope you're enjoying the Lord as we go to the end of the year. It's amazing. It just seemed like it was January 1st, and now here it is, the end of the year. Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes the Christmas season can be a very, very, very busy season. And that's true in our lives during November and December at the catering company. It's our busiest time of year. And so we are just, going, going, and going. But one thing that God has instilled in Janet and I over the years is the importance of reading the Scripture every day or listening to it every day. And so it's been real good because by God's grace, we've tried to keep that part of our lives going during slow times and during busy times. And so a while back, I was reading in the Gospel of John. And these are the things we're going to share on this morning. But they were things that have helped me, especially when things really got crazy these last 6-7 weeks, just really to cast everything upon the Lord. But if you'd like to turn your Bible to John chapter 20. Just where Steve was reading. And let's just go through some of these verses and see what we can learn for our practical application here at the end of 2012. But let's begin in verse 26. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I shall see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again his disciples were inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger, and see my hands, and reach here your hand, and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You know, Thomas had been one of the men with Jesus for 3 years. And then he died, and he rose from the grave, but Thomas had doubts. And yet God, still used Thomas. And I was just thinking, in my own life, I have had doubts over the years. And this little quote has been very, very helpful to me, because that's how it has been in my life for 30 years. You know, different things come up. I maybe have a doubt or a question, but it drives me back to the Word. And that has been the thing that has very much helped me. But here it says, "Some people need to doubt before they believe. If doubt leads to questions, questions lead to answers, and the answers are accepted, then doubt has done good work. It is when doubt becomes stubbornness, and stubbornness becomes a lifestyle, that doubt harms faith. When you doubt, don't stop there. Let your doubt deepen your faith as you continue to search for the answer. Get into the Bible." And so in my life, as I've been going through different things that have happened, whether it's family issues or work issues or just personal health issues, it's amazing how all of a sudden you feel like you're getting hit. You know, when I was a kid, we used to have this Bozo the Clown punching bag. You know, and it had sand in the bottom, and you'd hit it and it'd come back. You'd hit it and it'd come back. And, you know, that's how I felt the last 6-7 weeks, that I've been just being hit all the time. And it's been really good, though, because what that has done is that's caused me to get into the Word. So I have a little electronic device that I use to listen to the Bible, and I try to read every day. But that's been so helpful for me, because even at one point in our last 6 weeks, I told Janet, I said, "I think we're getting hammered. We're really getting hammered here." And it was really neat, because the verse that we were thinking about was Proverbs 3. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." So that every time something came at us, we just said, "Okay, realize that God is in charge of this particular situation that we're going through right now. And just keep going to Him. Keep going to Him. And it's really been good because it helped me to not doubt, but to have faith. Keep going back to the Lord. Keep going back to the Lord. So in your life, when you have things that come at you, we might want to, in our flesh, run away. But I would just say, boy, what I've experienced here these last 6 weeks is run towards the Lord Jesus. Get into the Word. Listen to it. Read it. Hear it. And it'll really comfort you with what the Lord has to share. And it was fun. There were two times during the Christmas season where I had to work Christmas parties. And one of them was a long one from 3 to midnight. And I normally am not up till, you know, midnight on a Saturday night, but here I was. And they really got every ounce of work out of me. I mean, everything I did, they wanted a little bit more. And they were great people, but it was just a busy, busy night. So here I am getting ready to leave St. Pete, and I'm getting off 4th Street. There's a lot of people out at midnight on 4th Street in St. Pete. And so as I got over near the Gandy Bridge, I had my little portable device on. And I was listening to Hebrews chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 10 as I was going across the bridge. And so in Hebrews 9 it says, just as man is destined to die once, and then after this to face judgment. And I thought, wow, that's a good, true verse. And I thank God that I'm a Christian. And so I started praying for some unbelievers. But then the rest of the chapter went by, I don't remember it. And then I was just praying, Lord, you know, why are we going through this? And all of a sudden in chapter 10, it said, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And I turned it off. I rewound it. I played it again. For you have need of endurance. I said, okay, God's just trying to teach me to endure. And then I got near the Gandy Bridge, and as I'm going over it, I guess a lot of the young crowd hangs out at the Gandy Bridge, and they drag race. So here I am with a company van, and I'm in the middle of a drag race, you know. So these guys are going around me and beside me, and they're passing me on the right, which is really not a good thing to do. But I thought, Lord, help me just to be cool and calm and just to stay in the lane. But so I'm the kind of guy that needs definitions, okay? I need definitions. So I went back and I looked up endurance because it was real practical to me that night. Endurance is the steady determination to keep going regardless of the temptation to slow down or give up. Endurance is the steady determination to keep going, regardless of the temptation to slow down or give up. That really encouraged me to say, okay, I'm just going to go to bed, get a good night's sleep, get up tomorrow, and see what God has for me. But in your lives, just really hang in there when things come at you. And again, you may get one thing occasionally, another thing another time, but boy, when they start coming at you rapid fire, are we trusting the Lord Jesus? That's what He would want. It was kind of funny at the at one of the caterings. It was a catering for 100 people in St. Pete. And the folks had a large backyard with 20 tables set up with 4 chairs for 80 people in their backyard. They had a den, they had a living room, they had a dining room, they had everything. And I'm working out of the kitchen. In all that area that was there, oh, they had a playroom, they had a children's area, they had an outdoor credenza. It was amazing. In all the area, guess where most of the people congregated that evening? In the kitchen. And I'm trying to work, and it wasn't working. So all of a sudden, I started thinking, rawr, rawr, rawr. And then I remembered Steve had just given a message on grumbling and disputing. And I had this little definition again, because that's the way that I'm wired. But grumbling, muttering in a low tone of voice, it's an emotional rejection of God's providence, will, and circumstances for one's life. So I started saying, you know, I'm going to be thankful that these folks are hanging out here in my work area. What else can I do? It's their house, right? I'm not going to say anything stupid. And disputing. Intellectual. Questionings or criticisms directed negatively toward God. Oh, I was getting mad at God for my circumstance. And it was amazing how that helped me to change my attitude to be thankful. You know, Janet a lot of times says, let's have a Thanksgiving frenzy. And I just started giving thanks. While I'm working there, you know, trying to get around, I said, excuse me, you know, to get the food. But it really was good because God was right there helping me in the midst of that situation. So let's continue here in chapter 21. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch." They cast therefore, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. That disciple therefore whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. And so when they got out upon the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and placed fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. So the disciples are waiting for the Lord, and they went out fishing, and they didn't catch anything. So the Lord says, "Hey, try the other side." So they caught a large amount of fish. And sometimes in our lives, I think it's important to, we forget sometimes that we don't bring the Lord into our workplace or our school place or our home place or our neighborhood place. But he wants to be just as involved there as he is at church on Sunday morning. And so just as a little reminder, commit all things to the Lord. That's what Janet and I have been trying to do. Just give each situation, each circumstance to the Lord, and it really helps. But it was amazing. In verse 9, it said a little phrase, a charcoal fire. And I don't know how many times I've read that phrase over the years. But I thought, wow, charcoal fire. It seems I just read that a couple of chapters earlier. So I went back to chapter 18, because I try to read consecutively. When I go through, I read 18, and then something else, then I read 19 the next day. And it was 18:18. It says, "Now the slaves and the officers were standing there, having made a charcoal fire. For it was cold, and they were warming themselves, and Peter also with them, standing and warming himself." So a charcoal fire, that's what hit me. I thought, oh, I just read that. And that's the situation in the courtyard where Peter denied the Lord. So it's interesting, I thought. Here he has a charcoal fire. Now here it's used to cook. But I thought, you know, isn't God kind to bring things up like a pop quiz? How many of you had a pop quiz or your boss suddenly gives you a new assignment that has to be done by 5? But you know, it's very important to remember how God can help us in every situation. And in my life, I was just starting to think back over charcoal fires, because there's some times in my Christian life where I've done things that are stupid, and I've done things that are not honoring to God. And I confess it, and I move on, but it's amazing how shortly after that, another month or two or three, the same situation will come up. Whether it's a route at work where I think I can't do this route, and then God gives grace, and then a few weeks later, I have the similar route, and I say, okay, God help me then. He can help me here. But you know, I was thinking, as Janet and I went home to visit my mom for Christmas, we arrived at her place a little bit before midnight on Christmas Eve. And then we spent a few minutes with her. We listened to some of the concerns she had. And then what we did was we got in the car, and because it had snowed, we had to take the brush and the scraper and do all that we haven't done that in years, you know. So we started going down Route 10 in New Jersey to go to our hotel. And it was amazing, some of the landmarks that I hadn't seen in years in New Jersey that were very important in my life. One of them was a Dunkin' Donuts, kind of set up on a hill. And I'll tell you that story in a few minutes. And then as we're going down, there was a shopping center where there used to be a grocery store where I used to work. And it was no longer there. It was now in LA Fitness. And then right next to it was a McDonald's. And right next to that was a little shopping center where there used to be a travel agency it's no longer a traveling agency, it's a pizzeria now. But I was thinking, in my life, there have been charcoal fires. There have been memories that either I did well or I didn't do well, or I affirmed the Lord or I denied the Lord. But here I was driving down, and in the snow, and I said, wow, this is amazing. I thought of the grocery store, how God provided for me when I was in college, because I used to work night crew. I used to work from 11 to 8:30, and we used to fill up all the shelves. And it was really a blessing. Even though I wasn't a believer then, God provided for me. But then one night we were there, and we were kind of like, it was open 24 hours. And what happened was, there's 12 guys working in the store, and somebody tried to steal some meat. They tried to steal a prime rib by putting it under their jacket. And a prime rib is pretty, you know, pretty large cut of meat. You just can't walk out with a prime rib, you know. And so all of a sudden, they hit the button, and the alarm goes off, and so we go out. And we were the night crew, and we were also the, you know, police. And so we get out there, and so the guy gets in his car, and we're surrounding the car. And I'm behind the guy, and all the other co-workers are around him. And I'm about 8 or 9 feet behind him, and there's a shopping cart next to me. And all of a sudden, I see the brake lights go on. And I'm thinking, this is not good. The brake lights are coming on. That means he's going in reverse. So all I could think of was take the shopping cart, turn it on its side. And you know how they're tapered shopping carts? They're wide here near you and they taper down. As I turned it over, he came up and it was one of the, this is in the 70s now, so some of the bigger cars. So the bumper was up. So what he did was he basically came right up over the cart and his wheels got off the ground and he just started spinning. And I thought, wow. And I was a religious guy, but I wasn't a Christian, but I said, thank you, God, for helping me. And so the Dunkin' Donuts comes into play because we had to go to court. Because they pressed charges, obviously, and that's where we met, was the Dunkin' Donuts. But I thought how God had given wisdom to tell the truth, because the guy who stole the stuff was not telling the truth. And I just thought, you know, God is so good and so kind to help us in every situation. But in my life, even as I drive around Tampa, I see where I had bad attitudes here and there, and God has helped me. Or in Gainesville, you know, years ago I did something real stupid at the corner of Archer and 34th Street. So every time we go back to Gainesville and I go back to that intersection, I think, you know, that's where I blew it in the past. But God has changed me, and I don't have to be like I was 30 years ago. I cannot do that. And so it's been real kind. But, you know, in your Christian life, you might have victory in an area today. But just be aware, you're going to have a pop quiz come up in the future. And just be ready. How will you respond? It's great to respond godly today, but it's also good to respond godly tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day, until we see the Lord. In verse 12, it says, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to question him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? So, the Lord now has one-on-one time with Peter. And I'm going to start with the word these. Do you love me more than these? Well, in the context, it could either be the other disciples, his friends, all the other guys. Do you love me more than your good buddies? Or it could be all the fishing paraphernalia, the boat, the nets, the fish, all that stuff. His job, his occupation. And that's something that I have had to continually come back to. Do I love the Lord Jesus more than my job, my friends, my bride? Do I love him more? And that has been so good. You know, Janet and I have said over the years that there are three in our marriage. The Lord is first, I am second, and the other spouse is third, you know. So I am third, Janet is second, of course, and then the Lord Jesus is first. But it's very important to have that perspective. And it's interesting. I'll let you know, I don't know Greek and I don't know Hebrew. But over the years, I have come to find men who know it, or books that are research books or reference books. And I've gone and I just, you know, read it about the Greek and the Hebrew. Now, here where the Lord says, do you love me? In English, you can't tell because it's just love, 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 love. And we think it's just one word. But in the original language, there's three different words that can be used. So the Lord is asking Peter, do you love me in the highest form? And Peter responds, Lord, you know that I love you. He responds in the second form, well, Lord, I sort of kind of like you, you know. And then the Lord says to him, tend my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Again, the highest form of love. And Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know that I sort of kind of like you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now the Lord uses Peter's form of the word love. You sort of kind of like me. And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. You know, here he uses three phrases. Tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep, tend my sheep. I think one of the most important things for a Christian to be able to do is to comfort others spiritually as they go down the road of life. It might be people in your small group. It might be other Christians you know at work. It might be other Christians in your family. But I think it's very, very important, as we love the Lord Jesus first, to then want to encourage others to grow in their faith. Now, you can't be over their house 24/7. You can't be calling them on the phone every day. But as opportunity comes, are you one that will encourage people with the things that God has shared with you? And I have learned that it's very important. Just like with Steve giving the message on grumbling and disputing. Who knew that a few days later I'd need to use that? And it's very important. So as we get it, the word into us, it will come back. And God will use it going through our brain to help us. Verse 18, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. You know, as Janet and I have been dealing with end-of-life issues with my mom, it's caused us to think about death. And not that we dwell on it, but we think about it, especially this last week. But I just like that phrase, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. You know, as we all get older, we're going to have little aches and ailments and pains, and different things are going to happen. I don't know what they're all going to be. But God is sovereign. God is in charge of every one of those little aches and pains and whatever it may be. And I just like to remind us to glorify God as we go through this process. Let's not be folks who complain, who wonder why this is happening to me or this. It's just life. You do the best you can. You go to the doctor when you can. You take the medicines that they give you. But you know, sometimes in our day and age, we don't want to hear that pain and suffering and affliction is part of the Christian life, but it is. And God is right there with us. You remember the story in Job. You know, Job had a lot, and God allowed one by one things to be taken away. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's an attitude I think God wants us to have. So as we're getting older, you know, whether you're 18 or 80, you're getting older. That's just the way it is. Let's glorify God. And I like that phrase, follow me. I looked it up in the original. It says, follow and keep on following me. So not just once, but again, tomorrow, the next day, the day after that. Follow the Lord Jesus as we go through life. And I just wrote down a couple of things. Are we willing to surrender our wills to Jesus and to keep on following him through hardships, persecution, and even death? God would want us to continue to do that. Get up each day and put him on the throne of our heart. In verse 20, Peter turned around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You know, Peter was excited for the different things he'd just seen. A few chapters earlier, he denied the Lord. God reinstates him to be involved in the church and loving the sheep, tending the sheep, shepherding the sheep. And then Peter now wants to know, what about John? And the Lord says, if I want him to remain until I come again, what is that to you? You follow me. You know, sometimes in the Christian life, we want to know about Tony and Susie and Mary and Maria, how they're doing, what's going to happen. You know, it's very important to care for others, and it's very important to look out for others. But you know, God has a will for their life. He has a will for my life, and He has a will for your life. Let's follow the Lord right where we're at. And I looked it up again, and it said, you, me, keep on following, for follow me. You, Peter, me, Jesus, keep on following. So I took that, you know, you, Gary, me, Jesus, you keep on following me. And it's been very good to have that attitude, because no matter what comes at you, I know that God is in charge. You know, I think we need to just keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus. We love people, we care for them, we try to give advice when they ask it, but you know, we have to let them live their Christian life. And God may be having a different path for someone. You know, where do you go to school? Where do you work? God will lead that individual. You know, who do you marry? You know, really, I think it's important to marry a believer. It saves a lot of problems down the road. But, you know, where you live, what you do, there's a lot of gray areas that God will have to lead you individually. You know, it was interesting. There's a lot of things in society, and we just have to put them aside. I read this little quote. It was a few months ago in one of the Sunday magazines. And this is a famous musician with a famous band. But somebody wrote in a question to him, and he used to be a school teacher before he got into music business. But the question was, which is tougher, the music industry or education? And so this person responds, it depends on what you want to reach. The rewards are much greater in the music business, but the pitfalls are very deep. Something both professions offer is a chance to be in the spotlight. In one, you're in front of an audience who may not want to be there, he says. In the other, you're in front of an audience who worships at your feet. So just there's a lot of things that we could worship. It could be a music group. It could be a sports figure. It could be a job. It could be a person. I just throw out that we need to worship God and worship the Lord Jesus, because He's worthy to be worshipped. No matter what comes at you, no matter what comes at me, let's worship Him. And verse 23, this saying therefore went out among the brethren that the disciple would not die, yet Jesus did not say that he would not die, but only, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who bears witness of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his witness is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books which were written. Then I just want to go back to chapter 20 there at the very end, verse 30. Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. You know, John was very, very selective in what he put down in the gospel. He wasn't exhaustive at all. But what he put there was enough for any man or any woman to come to faith in Jesus Christ. You know, while we were home with my mom last time, we gave her some different literature, and also some of you were kind to send some literature to my mom. And so for the first time, she read back some verses to us, and she said she believed them. Now, what that means, I don't know, because we were there this past time, and it just seemed like, you know, she wasn't interested in spiritual things. But that's okay. We just keep praying for her. But it was kind of neat. We were picked up at the airport by a friend of my mom. His name is Amir. He's a man from Pakistan. And so we had a chance to talk with him going and coming from my mom's. Because we didn't rent a car this time. We just used mom's car. But as we were talking on the way back to the airport, coming back home just the other day, we got a chance to talk to Amir about my mom. I said, you know, my mom, we are Christians and we believe that we have peace with God. And we're hoping that my mom has peace with God. He didn't say anything because he was driving. But at the end, we asked for his permission as we paid him. And we gave him a little gratuity to get a cup of coffee or something. We asked him if we could have his permission to give him a piece of literature. He says, oh, yes, I'd be very happy to take a piece of literature and to read it. So who knows what's going to happen. But, you know, that's the whole key in life, is to have peace with God. You know, we can go through life and, you know, 80 years can go by, 90 years, and if we don't have peace with God, it's just life on this planet. It doesn't fulfill. Our hearts are made to have a relationship with God. And so really, in a crowd this size, there are two types of people. Those that have come to faith in the Lord Jesus, they've repented of their sin, they've turned from their ways and embraced God's ways, and they've accepted that free gift of eternal life. And then there are folks who haven't done that. They maybe are religious. They are maybe don't believe in anything. But that's okay. I just encourage you to look to the Lord Jesus and get into the Scripture. Because the Scripture is what has the answers. And I know years ago I was not a reader. And so over the years I've had to learn how to read. But I also can listen. I can listen to other people. I can listen to CDs. But it's very important. So if you've not come to faith in Christ, today's the day, really, because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. None of us knows what tomorrow's going to bring. How many times have you driven by a high school and there's been a car that was involved in an accident put there probably by Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and you see the accident, and it's like, wow, you know, life is short. Life is short. So these are things that I have been learning, but really, to follow the Lord Jesus is very important. When we have pop quizzes in our Christian life, remember that God wants to see just how we've learned. You know, some exams in college are maybe chapter 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5 and 6, 7 and 8, 9 and 10. But the final might be comprehensive, 1 through 10. And God will allow that in our lives. So as we learn things, keep it in our hearts and pass it on to others, but then be ready for that pop quiz. So let's pray. Well, Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity to gather. Thank you, Lord, for your Scripture. Thank you, Lord, that it is the Word of God. And thank you that it's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I thank you, Lord, that you want to help us to be men and women that are enduring. You want us, Lord, to, when we have doubts, to go to you. And thank you, Lord, that you give us answers. And thank you, Lord, even as I read this morning in Daniel was praying for something, and the response came 3 weeks later because of the spiritual battle going on in the heavenlies. We don't know all that's going on, Lord, but we know we can trust in you. And our answer may come this afternoon. It may come 3 years from now. We don't know. But we want to be men and women who are walking by faith and not by sight. So we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to read your word. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to be folks who are falling in love with you every day of our lives. Help us, Lord, not to forget you. Thank you, Lord, that we have a cloud of witnesses around us. So help us, Lord, to fix our eyes on you, because you are the author and perfecter of our faith. So we thank you now for this day, and please bless the remainder of our service for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.